You know, the Bible has a lot to say about prayer. The Bible says that in 1 Thessalonians that we're to pray without ceasing. Of course, when you think about it that way, you say, how in the world can you go through life and you pray continually? Well, it's not possible, you say. Well, I think 1 Thessalonians says, pray without ceasing and everything give thanks for this will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I think the whole concept there is having an attitude of prayer. Luke 16, he says, pray and not stop. He says, keep offering your prayers up. In Matthew, he says, keep on knocking, keep on asking, keep on seeking. So we know the Bible tells us that we're to pray, and we want to be men and women of prayer. But when we think of prayer, we realize it's just talking to God. And when we pray, we can ask for so much. We can ask for ourselves. We can ask for others. We can worship God. We can praise Him. We can do all kind of things. The truth is that when we ask things, and we do, sometimes we just go straight to God and say, God, help me on this, or do this, or help my friend. What we want to do is we want God to answer our prayers. And a lot of times, in fact, most of the time, we want Him to answer them the way we're asking them. We're saying, Lord, I don't really know your will, but this is what I want. And He says, be anxious for nothing but everything by prayer, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known. So there's nothing wrong with coming and asking. We know that God answers prayer. Sometimes they're yes, sometimes they're no, sometimes they're wait. But what we like is some yes prayer, you know, yes answers, you know, God do this. Well, this morning we're going to see an aspect of answered prayer. Because in John 15, He says, when you abide, your prayers are answered. We'll talk about that. How does that tie together? Well, this morning I think one of the aspects of answered prayer, and it deals with abiding and being fruitful. Well, let's get a review. There are different levels. There's no doubt about it. You can look at the lives of people in this room. You can't tell a whole lot because we don't know what's going on in our minds and those kind of things. But the bottom line is we know that there are believers who produce no fruit. There are believers who produce fruit, the more fruit, even much fruit. We know from Mark chapter 4 there are those who produce no fruit. There are those who produce 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. I think those two tie together. And so his bottom line is you could look at our lives, each one of us, our own selves, examine our own lives because we're not to examine each other's, but examine our own lives and say, are we producing fruit, more fruit, much fruit, no fruit? Where are we? And we looked at that. And then we talked about how do you produce it, and that's John 15, where we are, and that's the whole idea of abiding. And in seven times in eight verses, he talks about abiding, abiding, abiding. And that's the key. Abiding has to do with fellowship. Now, just remember this, and I think this is great. In salvation, the key is believing. It has to do with our relationship, and the results is eternal life. So salvation, it's believing, relationship, eternal life. In the Christian life, the key is abiding. It's fellowship, and the results is fruit. So they're two different things. And remember, there are a lot of people who want to tell you, look at your life to see if you're producing fruit, and then if you know you're saved, we're going to see this passage says just the opposite. It says, when you produce fruit, you can see that you're a disciple, not a believer, but a disciple. And we'll talk about that. There's a lot there. How do we produce fruit? Abide. Look at John 15, verse 4. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. It's a very powerful statement. You must abide in Him. We know abiding is fellowship. Stay in fellowship with Him, living by the Word of God. We'll see that a little bit later. But living in fellowship with Him, living by the Word of God, He says the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, cannot, unless it abides in the vine. So there's the vine, and then the connection with the branch with the vine produces fruit. You can't do anything unless you abide in me, unless you stay with me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. See, from apart from me, you can do just a little bit. Nothing. See, I said it wrong, didn't I? He didn't say, apart from me, you can do little things. You can do some things. He said, apart from me, you can do absolutely nothing. Because without the power of the Holy Spirit and God through you, by your abiding in fellowship with Him, because if you're not abiding in fellowship with Him, you're out of fellowship. If you're out of fellowship, you're in the power of the flesh. The flesh produces absolutely nothing. Everything the flesh produces will be burned up. So He says, abide in me and I in you, and I'm the vine, you the branches. He abides in me and I in him. He bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do absolutely nothing. Now, that took us to our big second question, because that was, how do you do it? How do you produce fruit? You abide. Why do you produce fruit? We said there's a negative and a positive. Last week, the negative was that if you don't produce fruit, you're going to lose rewards. And we looked at that verse that a lot of people get really upset on. Notice again, it says, if anyone does not abide in me, this is verse 6, he is thrown away as a branch, and he dries up, and they gather them, and they cast them in the fire, and they're burned. And there's a third-class condition in Greek which says, maybe or maybe not, you'll abide. And if you don't abide, you're going to be like a branch that's been not in fellowship anymore. So you're not in the vine and the branches. So the branch is not getting anything from the vine. So you're not going to produce any fruit. You're going to be like a little stick that has no fruit on it. And what do they do with the sticks in those days? They say, let's build a little fire and burn it up because they're worthless. You can't build anything with them. There's no fruit from it. You can't eat off of it. And the bottom line for us as believers, if you don't abide in Christ, you're not going to have any fruit. And we looked at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. We'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to be judged for the things we've done in this body, whether good or worthless. We looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that says everybody's work will be tested by fire. If your work abides or stays, gold, silver, precious stone, there'll be rewards. If it doesn't, it'll be burned up. And I think that's the analogy. And so the bottom line is when we stand before Jesus Christ, we don't want it all burned up. Which be like little branches that are all burned up because we produced no fruit. And so that was the negative. The negative was, why in the world should you produce fruit so that you won't, so that you'll have some rewards? And what I'm going to do, I had some questions afterwards last week dealing with rewards. And so what I thought we'd do, because it's getting close to Christmas and we only got just a couple of weeks before we get into some Christmas things, I thought I might spend a couple of weeks on the whole issue of rewards, if y'all want to do that. And we're going to look at a couple of places, get a little bit more detail on rewards, because I think it is vital. We've done in the past, maybe 6 or 7 years ago, I did a long study on rewards. But we're just going to touch on a couple of weeks of the whole reward thing. What are the rewards, the crowns, how do you get them, what is this judgment seat of Christ, and all of that stuff. So we'll just touch on that for the next couple of weeks after today. Assuming we'll finish this, and we probably will all the way. Now, let's look at the positive. Why produce fruit? The negative, you're going to lose rewards if you don't produce fruit. Well, the positive, there are three things. Notice verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it shall be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. There are three things there. One is if you're abiding and producing fruit, you're going to have answered prayer. If you're providing, abiding and producing fruit, God will be glorified. And if you're abiding and producing fruit, it will prove that you are His disciple. That's the three things. So let's look at those and let's think about it. And some of it's hard. Look what he says. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. Notice what he says. My words abide in you. Talking about the Word of God. Ask whatever you wish and it shall be done for you. Now, whenever we see a verse like that, or Matthew chapter 23, or it's either 22, 23, or 23, 22, it's been a long time since I've looked at the verse, but it says, whatever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. And there are people who pull that verse out of context, there are people who pull this verse out of context, and they'll say, God is obligated to give you whatever you ask for. No, He's not. There's a prerequisite here. What is it? You have to abide. What does it mean to abide? To be in fellowship. Notice how he says it here. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. There's more to it than just saying, okay, I belong to God and I'm a child of God and I ask Him whatever I want to ask Him and whatever I ask, He's obligated to give it to me. I used to, there are a whole bunch of people who believe that. That's the name and, the name and claim group. They believe that you can go to God, you name it and claim it, and God's going to give it to you. They see God as the big Coke machine in the sky. You put your money in, you press the right button, and stuff comes out. You go to God and you say, you're obligated to give me this because I'm doing, you know, I'm doing what I think you want me to do. So here's what I want, and you're obligated to give it to me. God's not obligated to do anything except whatever He has already promised or whatever His character says He will do. Now, when we pray, notice what it says. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, talking about the Word of God and the truths and the principles, if we live in fellowship with God based on the Word of God, ask whatever you wish, it shall be done for you. Now, I want to show you something. Hold your place in John and turn over to 1 John chapter 5. First John chapter 5. Notice how this ties together. First John chapter 5. Look at verse 14. Same author, you know, and he's teaching some great truths about answered prayer. You know, when we think about answered prayer, the truth is this. Is a no an answered prayer? It is. But we're talking about here about getting a yes answered prayer. Okay? Watch what he says in First John chapter 5, verse 14. And this is the confidence which we have before Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from Him. Now, it says, if you ask according to what? His will. Now, how do you know His will? Huh? That's right. And where do you go? The Bible. The Bible is God's will. When people say, I just want to do God's will, I wish God would give me, show me His will. He did. He gave you a whole book. And it's full. It's full of stuff that most of us aren't doing. And He's really saying, look, you get this down, I'll give you some more. But the bottom line is, the will of God is found in the Word of God. That's why back in John 15, what it says, abide in me, and if you abide, and you abide in my words. Talk about the Bible. Now, God's will is found in God's Word. So when you pray according to the truths of God's Word, He hears you. Okay? And then notice the next verse. And we know that He hears us, and whatever we ask, we know we have the request which we have asked from Him. Now, when you ask according to God's will, you have to realize that there's a difference between saying, this is what I want, and this is what your will is. There are a lot of things we ask, we don't know His will. He hadn't revealed it to us. We may say, dear Heavenly Father, I pray for my friend to get well. Now, Lord, this I don't know what your will is, Lord, but this is what I would like. You've told me to be anxious for nothing but everything by prayer and supplication. Let your request be made known. Sometimes we go to God. We don't have biblical revelation that tells us what His will is. We just don't. There are a whole bunch of things in our lives we don't know what they are. But there are a lot of places that we do. And then when we do ask, we may say, Lord, this is what I want. But really, bottom line is, your will, not mine. That's what Jesus did. What did He say in the garden? Not my will, but yours. Now, Jesus knew the plan, didn't He? Why was Jesus saying, if it's possible, take this cup from me? Was it possible? I don't think so. Wasn't He the lamb slain from before the foundation of the world? Wasn't He supposed to die on the cross and take upon our sins? I mean, so He when He said, if possible, take this cup from me. However, nevertheless, it's not my will, but yours. There are many times we pray, we don't know what we don't know what His will is. We just don't know the future. We don't know. That's the sovereign plan of God that He hadn't revealed to us. And so many times when we pray, we can ask anything we want. We can say, now, Lord, I don't know what your will is. This is what I want, but ultimately I want your will. This passage says when we ask according to His will, and I think that's the scriptural aspect of it. There are a lot of things in the Bible that are God's will. I'll never forget when I studied the book of Daniel one time, and it really hit me that Daniel knew that God had promised that at the end of 70 years, what would happen to the people? You may know. They go back. Do you realize in Daniel chapter 9, when Daniel is reading through Jeremiah and recognizes that, what does he pray and ask God to do? To take them back. He already knew God was going to take them back. But he was praying for God to fulfill His will. Sometimes we pray things according to God's word that we know are true, and we pray it and say, God, this is what I want. Wouldn't it be a great thing to say, God, I want you to use me for your glory? Because that's the plan. What, do we not know our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit? Is in you, you're not your own, you've been bought with a price. Therefore, God says, glorify God in your body. So you pray to God and say, God, I want you to glorify you in my life. That's praying according to the will of God. Do you think that's going to happen? What do you think? I think it will happen if you pray that. We talked about the prayer of Jabez, and we talked about praying that God would use us in things beyond what we could ask or imagine. We already know that God says, I'm going to do things in your life beyond what you could ask or imagine. You think when you pray that that's going to happen? I guarantee you it's going to happen. All you have to do is look back at your life now, and you could see how God has done things in your life that were beyond what you could ever imagine. And He will continue to do that. So I think in 1 John 5, when he says, this is the confidence we have before, and that we ask according to His will, He hears us. And when we know that He hears us, we have the request which we have asked. Go back to John 15. And so I think the bottom line is, when it says here that when we're abiding in Him, and He in us, and we're abiding in His words, what does it say? Oh, I got the wrong book. I knew that didn't look right. It was Luke. I kept saying, that is not right. Something's wrong here. My words abide in you. Ask whatever you wish and it shall be done for you. When you ask according to the will of God, you can guarantee that God's will is going to come to pass. It still may not be exactly like we think. Why? Because His ways are not our ways, and His thoughts are not our thoughts. Isaiah 55:11, as high as the heavens are from the earth, so are His ways and His thoughts above us. We just don't know exactly how He's working everything. But He says to us when we pray according to His will, notice like this, He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish. Now, if you're abiding in Him, you're going to ask according to His what? His will. That's the bottom line. And it shall be done. One of the great things about abiding in Christ is you're in fellowship with Him. You're living according to the Word of God. And your prayers will not be selfish prayers, as James talks about in James 2 and 3. They'll be prayers based on the will of God. And according to 1 John 5, when you pray according to the will of God, He answers those prayers. Does that make sense? Any questions, comments on this? This is the first thing. This is the first benefit. Yes, Terry. I think that a lot of them would say that you didn't have enough faith. Right. You weren't doing the right things. Well, to me, when people just name something and say, I claim this in the name of Jesus because I'm in fellowship with Him, He didn't say just because you're abiding in Him. He says you're abiding in Him and you're abiding in His words, which is the truth of God's Word. And so sometimes people ask things that are not even biblical and say, God's obligated to get it for me. And if they don't get it, they say, well, you just didn't have enough faith to believe that. When the truth is, He didn't promise that. In fact, the answer prayer that He promises is when you pray according to the will of God and you're abiding in Him and living by the Word of God, He's going to answer prayer for us. And as I said a while ago, it still may not be exactly what you asked for in the way you asked for it, because God is a Heavenly Father that says, you know, you don't really know what you're asking for. You don't really want that. Let me reassure you, you don't really want that. That's what God could say to us. And it's true. There are things I've asked for and begged for, and then later I look back and go, well, I'm glad I didn't get that. Has that happened to you? Anybody in this room? Yeah. If it hadn't happened to you, it will. You just haven't lived long enough yet. And then you'll ask for stuff and you'll say, God, I want this to happen. I want this to happen. Doesn't happen. You look back and you go, man, I'm kind of glad that didn't happen now. Okay. Questions, comments? Yeah. Some examples of what?
Fruits.
A fruit, okay. All right. The fruit... We talked about that it could be two or three different things. It could be leading someone to Christ, because in Romans, Paul talks about that I might have fruit among you as the rest of the Gentiles. And he talked about coming there and giving them the gospel message. So fruit could be that that God used you to lead somebody to Christ. We also talked about the Galatians passage, talking about the fruit of the Spirit that comes out in our lives when we're controlled by the Holy Spirit and living by the Word. That could be fruit. There's also a passage in Philippians and another place that talks about the fruit of good works. So any good works that you do, in a sense, as you're doing them in the power of the Holy Spirit, there's that fruit there that comes out in that sense. The bottom line is when you're abiding in Christ and you're doing the things that He wants us to do, living by the Word of God, not only is there fruit, which may or may not be seen, but there's going to be rewards for that. And that's what I think we talked about last week when he did that. Yeah. Did I help? I think it's saying results of righteous living would be the way to say it. In the Greek, they have the way the word's put together. It's genitive is what they call it in the Greek, but it could be something like of righteousness. And that's but it could be a lot of different aspects. The best way I think to translate that most of the time is fruit produced by righteousness. Could be the aspect of as you live a righteous life, this is the fruit that comes out. Of course, righteous living is living according to Scripture and the power of the Holy Spirit. So I think that's all it's talking about. What else? Anything else? Yeah.
I've heard some of these name and, there's a particular name and claim it preacher that's on TV and radio, offers for sale little pieces of cloth and vials of oil to hold and focus. so that as you focus, God will answer your prayer. Where are they finding this to justify it?
Well, did y'all hear the question? There's a name and claim it pastor, she says, or preacher on the TV that she sees that offers cloth to hold or some little oil to hold to focus on. And she asks, where do they get that? Well, there was in Acts, there's a place where Paul is being filled with the Holy Spirit and he's serving God. And it says that even his cloth, that somebody got his cloth and it healed him. So they say, okay, I'm going to send you my cloth and this will heal you. Then there's the place in James where it talks about if somebody's sick, you call for the elders and they'll anoint them with oil. And so they come up with a little vials of oil that they'll send out and say, if you anoint yourself with oil, then that'll heal you as well. I don't think either one of those contexts fit what they're trying to do today. I don't think either one of them match. There is, we talked about it when we studied the book of James, there are times when people have illness which they believe is due to sin. They would call the elders of the church. They would confess their sins. The elders would come, pray for them, lay hands on them, and identify, get them back in fellowship. That's what that James passage is talking about. The cloth thing is something that an apostle, at just in the grace of God, in the majesty of God, God was using Paul to do things that are way beyond, which I think was the sign to show that Paul was from God until the scripture was completed. Yeah, some people need something tangible. I don't think that a prayer cloth or some oil or something is the tangible thing. I think what they ought to do is go back to the tangible principles and truths from the Bible. But you're right, there's some people who want that. When you look at Gideon, did Gideon know what God wanted him to do? We always talk about the fleece that Gideon put out. And Gideon put out a fleece and said, if I'm supposed to go... He basically said, if you will go and give me victory over these people, make the ground wet and the fleece dry. And then it was. And so he flipped it around and said, well, just to double check this thing, make this wet and the ground dry. But see, he already knew. God already told him, you go and defeat the enemy because I'm going to give you the victory. It was a weak faith that needed a fleece. The Bible doesn't say throw out fleece. Now, today people use fleece in a different way. They say things like, I don't know what to do, but if the phone rings in the next 15 minutes, I'll take that job. You know, and that's a fleece. And they, you know, God says, hey, you can take any job you want. Have a good time as long as it matches scripture stuff. So you're right. Some people need that. Yeah.
The thing that five is good with me, I've been busy in the church at times in my life, or really busy in the church. But the do nothing part of this, what it's saying to me is if you're not abiding in Christ, the busyness in the church really doesn't.
Exactly.
And when we get to heaven, those works that I was counting on being rewarded for get burned away.
Right.
So it's a neat combination there. That I've read that verse a lot.
Right.
You know, tied it in with my busyness.
Did you hear what he said? I know a lot of you couldn't. He talked about John 15:5, where it says, apart from me, you can do nothing. And he said that in life, a lot of times in church, you think you're busy doing things, but if you're not abiding in Christ, all the busy things that you do, you're doing nothing. So you won't have rewards. You won't have fruit when you stand there. The bottom line is the most important thing, first of all, is to maintain your fellowship with your Savior. If you want to have an impact for Jesus Christ in this earth, it goes back to your relationship and fellowship with Him. You have a relationship of eternal life. You have fellowship by abiding. And all John 15 is saying, you want to produce fruit, you want to glorify the Father, you want to make a difference, you're going to have to abide in me, because apart from me, you can do absolutely nothing. Nothing's going to happen. There are not going to be rewards. There's not going to be any fruit unless you abide in me. That's the key. And I think that this first one, he says, you want to have answered prayer? You abide in me and my words abide in you, and whatever you ask will be done for you. Now, it's assuming that what you're asking is based on the words that you're abiding in, that you're living by the Scripture and you ask your request based on the Scripture. That's a key thing. We've got just about a minute, I think. Let me just show you the other two real quickly and we'll touch on them next week, but we'll get into rewards as well. Look what he says. By this, by what? By this abiding, my Father is what? Glorified. This is I may not even told you what verse. Verse 8. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and prove to be my disciples. When you abide and you bear fruit, Not only you have answered prayer, but the Father is glorified. That's the whole purpose of our lives, is to glorify God. The 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. What's the whole purpose that we're here? It is to bring honor and glory to God through all that we do. It's His, think about it. Everything's from God. He's the one that gave you the gifts. He's the one that gave you the Holy Spirit. He's the one that gives you the opportunities. He's the one that gives you the power. And that's why He gets all the glory no matter what you do. If you do it in His power, He will get all of the glory, and that's what you want. You don't want any glory. The truth is, when you stand before Him and He rewards you, He still gets all the glory because you know that the only way you ever served Him was His power, His spiritual gifts to you, His opportunities to you, His working it all according to the counsel of His will. So there's never any glory for us. And He says, if you're abiding in Him, guess what's going to happen? Producing fruit? God, the Father, is glorified. And there's one more thing there, and we'll mention this a little bit next time as well. He says, and so you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. How do you show that you are a disciple of Jesus Christ? It's the fruit. Now, we've talked a lot about the fact that people, it's hard to look at a life. In fact, it's really impossible to look at a life and say, this person's a Christian or not a Christian, this person's producing fruit, this person's not producing fruit, because you don't know whether it's the flesh or not. But his bottom line is, as you're producing fruit by abiding, it proves, it shows that you belong to Jesus Christ as a disciple. And discipleship is the key. There's a difference between being a believer and being a disciple. It doesn't say if you produce fruit, it proves to people you're a believer. It says if you produce fruit, it proves you're a disciple. Because you can be a believer and not produce fruit. We've already seen that. Now, there's a whole bunch of people that would tell you differently. They would say, if you don't produce fruit, you're not a Christian. No. As you plainly in John 15, these are believers who are not producing fruit. In Mark chapter 4, believers who are not producing fruit. So if you have to produce fruit to be a believer, John's wrong. And let me tell you what, I pick John over them every time. John is who's right. So it's pretty powerful. The key is abiding. The key is abiding. Romans 12, 1 and 2, you offer your life as a living sacrifice. You say, God, I want to be used by you. That's the second bail, isn't it? Okay, look at 15:10, and then we'll touch on this next week as we think about rewards. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. The abiding goes back to obedience, always does. Obedience to the Word of God. And so the bottom line is, we go back to the truths of God's Word and we say, I want my life to count for Christ. I want to produce fruit. I want to glorify Him. I want to show I'm a disciple. I want to have answered prayer. I want to have rewards. I want to do all this for my Savior. I want to bring Him glory. So what do? I live my life based on the Word of God, maintaining my fellowship with my Savior, living for Him. That's what it boils down to. And it's nothing is easy on this. And when I say nothing is easy, because it sounds vague, like, well, how do you live for Christ? How do you walk in the Spirit? How do you abide in Christ? Well, the bottom line is deal with your sins and live by the Scripture in God's power. And let me tell you, if you're dealing with your sin and you're living by the Scripture, you're living in His power. There's either the flesh or the Spirit. If you're not living in the flesh, guess what? You're living in the Spirit. If you're not living in the Spirit, you're living in the flesh. It's not some magical thing. It's just a truth from the Bible that you can either walk in the flesh or you can walk in the Spirit. You know how you can tell if you're walking in the flesh? What does Galatians 5:19 through 21 say? The works of the flesh are, and it's all those things like hatred and anger and bitterness and all those sins. Those things, if that's coming out of your life, that's not the Spirit. That's flesh. But if there's love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness, meekness, self-control, all that coming out of your life, that's the Spirit. You're walking in the Spirit, abiding in your Savior, being close to Him. You're going to produce fruit. He's going to be glorified. You're going to have answered prayer. You're going to prove that He's a disciple. And one day you'll stand before Him and He will say, well done, good and faithful servant. Some powerful stuff. Any questions, comments before we stop? We'll just touch on this next week as we get into the fruit stuff or the rewards. Anything else? Okay, dear Heavenly Father, thanks. Thanks for these truths. Lord, we want to abide in You, so that we can produce much fruit, that You can be glorified, that we can have prayer answered, that we can prove to be Your disciples, that we can have fruit and rewards, so that we, when we hear it, when we stand before You, we'll hear You say, well done. Lord, I pray that's what happens. Help us in this room, Lord, to abide in You. Because apart from You, We can do absolutely nothing. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.